We've been looking at questions that Jesus asked us that were deep and probing questions for a few weeks. Today we're going to look at another one. And this one is based on the parable of the Good Samaritan. And I know most of you know that parable. It teaches us lots of good lessons about helping others, like that song we sang about being a good neighbor, about being a friend. But the real lesson of the Good Samaritan is about the change of heart that takes place when we become Christians. It is about the change of heart that needs to take place in our lives in order for there to be evidence of true salvation. In order for us to be truly a child of God, we can answer this question: which of these was a neighbor to him? That's normally not the question that people pose when we talk about the Good Samaritan. So turn, if you will, to Luke chapter 10. And as we get into this parable, I want to tell you something about the person that Jesus is going to be speaking to. He's going to be speaking to a scribe who was a master of the law. And this lawyer, this scribe, is going to ask him a first question. What must I do to have eternal life? That's what starts this whole discussion. So Jesus' response is made to the question, what do I need to do to inherit eternal life? We have to remember that. Jesus will tell him, you got the words right, my friend. Because he'll tell the Bible verse, he'll spout that off. He'll tell the Bible verse, but then Jesus is going to ask him a question. Because the scribe is troubled by what Jesus really means. And the scribe is going to ask a question that says, who is my neighbor? He's going to say, who is my neighbor? And he's going to say this, when you hear it, to justify himself, because he's troubled by what Jesus has just gotten him to repeat. But he's going to ask that question, and here's what the scribes thought. They thought that only the righteous were their neighbors. They thought that only people who were righteous deserved their love. Now understand what this is happening. This is Jesus, the Son of God, who out of the love that God had came to give himself for us. And he's talking to a rule follower who can quote the scripture right off the bat but has trouble putting it in practice. And seeking to justify himself, he says, well, wait a minute, who's my neighbor? Because I think it's only the righteous. And you think, well, we don't do that today. Let me ask you this. Have we ever asked the question, do they measure up to my standards? Do they fit in? Are they worth our time? The answer to all those questions are yes. But the fact that we ask those questions about some people, should I talk to this person? They look different than me. They act different than me. They live different than me. They have a different religion than I do. What's our heart? That's what Jesus is going to talk to this man about today, and that's what he's going to talk to us about. So the Good Samaritan parable, really good lessons about doing good, helping others, that is not what it is about. Understand, it is about eternal life. So stand, if you will. We'll read Luke chapter 10, beginning in verse 25. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus said to him, well, what is written in the law? How do you read it? So he answered and said, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus said to him, You have answered rightly. Do this, and you will live. But he, wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus, And who is my neighbor? Because remember, he's just said, I have to love my neighbor as myself. And Jesus has said, you got it right. Go and do it. That made him a little uncomfortable. So he wants to justify himself. Well, who's my neighbor, Jesus? And Jesus answered and said, verse 30, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a certain priest came down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked, and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. And he set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. On the next day, when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said, "Take care of him. And whatever more you spend when I come again, I will repay you." So which of these do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves? And he said, "He who showed mercy on him." Then Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." You can be seated. So what started this entire discussion and the very purpose of Jesus telling this parable is about what it means to obtain eternal life. The lawyer who knew the Old Testament said, "Jesus, what do I need to do to inherit eternal life?" So Jesus turned it back to him with another question. "Well, what does the Bible say?" Which is a good answer, right? What does the Bible say? And the scribe quoted Deuteronomy 6:5 that says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength." And he quoted Leviticus 19:18 that said, "And love your neighbor as yourself." And we see elsewhere that Jesus said that all the law and all the prophets is summed up in those two sayings, right? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. We cannot love our neighbor, Jesus is going to explain, unless we first love him. Oh, we can be nice to our neighbors. We can even do good things to our neighbors. We can say, "I love you," to my neighbor. But which neighbors? Are we like the scribe? Are we like the Pharisees that pick and choose who we're nice to? Pick and choose who we talk to? Pick and choose who we share with? What Jesus is going to tell this scribe and he's going to tell us is that when I have truly come into your heart, when you are honoring God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind, and when you are loving your neighbor as yourself, you won't ever ask the question, "Who is my neighbor?" Everyone is your neighbor. So let's get more into this. So the story begins. Let me tell you a little bit about this road. This road ran down from Jerusalem to Jericho. It was about 17 miles long. And over that 17-mile path, it went downhill about 2/3 of a mile. So it was fairly steep. There's caves in there. There's rocks in there. That road still exists today. You can go on it. And that's where all the thieves and the robbers hid. So when you're walking down that road, you tried not to go down that road, but sometimes you had to. When you're walking down that road from Jerusalem to Jericho, you would get mauled. You would get mugged, as we would say. Well, that's what happened to this man. He's going down, and he gets jumped on. He gets beat up by these robbers, and he's left there, as it says, half dead. So Jesus is talking to this man, this scribe, and he's going to tell him about what happened to this man. Now, this is a Jewish scribe, and the most religious person that he knows is going to be the priest. So I want to let you know who the players are in this. You've got a priest. The priest is the one who was designated to go into the temple, to do all the rituals, to do all the services, to do all of the things that they thought God wanted. All the obedience, all the sacrifices that God wanted. That was the priest. The other fellow you're going to hear about is a Levite. Now, a Levite was not a priest, but they were from the family of Levi, and they were the group of people who would help out the priest. They would do all the cleaning of the church. They would do all the helping out for the worship services. they were kind of the deacons of the Jewish temple. They would take care of everything. And then you've got this dirty, rotten, low-down scoundrel called a Samaritan. Jews did not like Samaritans. And there's good reason, at least humanly speaking. 700 years before Christ, when Israel kept getting invaded, the Samaritans would help out the invaders. They actually took about a third of the northern kingdom captive and took them away. After the Babylonian captivity, the Samaritans would, when the Jews came back to try and rebuild Jerusalem, the Samaritans would keep attacking the wall that they were trying to build. They would make fun of them. They would harass them. They interfered with their ability to build the wall. So they didn't like them. In the 300s BC, Alexander the Great comes through conquering that area. The Samaritans made a deal with Alexander to help him out, and they got to go build a temple to a different god on a mountain because Alexander gave them that property because they helped out. So they worshiped at that time other gods. You know, we looked a couple of weeks ago at the woman at the well. And when Jesus speaks to her, you remember what she said. Why are you talking to me? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. So you're going to get this parable. Jesus is explaining to this Jewish lawyer about a priest, a Levite, and this no-down, rotten scoundrel Samaritan. Now, in the Jewish person's mind, which one of those would be the most compassionate? Priest, right. Which one would be the second most compassionate? The Levite. Who would be never compassionate, just an awful person to be around? The Samaritan, okay? So, you know, Jesus used, when he would tell these stories, they never came out like you thought. You know, he's always turning the tables on them. So let's see what happens. So the scribe has gotten it right. He said, Lord, you know, you love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus said, you've answered rightly. Do this and you will live. Remember, he's answering the question, what do I need to do to have eternal life? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus says, you got it. Those are the verses. But that made the scribe feel very uncomfortable because he knew he didn't love every neighbor. He only loved those neighbors that he thought were worth his time, that he thought were worth putting his energy into. And he defined that in his whole group, the Pharisees and the scribes, defined that to be the righteous folks. The ones that were at church Wednesdays, Sundays, Thursdays, Saturdays, whenever it was open, they were there. Only the righteous were going to be their friends. Only the righteous would be their neighbor. Never would they associate with a Samaritan. So he, verse 29, wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Now he's talking to a Jewish person who he thinks is going to answer the same way. He thinks Jesus is going to say, only the righteous. Only those people that God has shown his love to would be the way the Jews would answer that. Because they hated people who did not believe in God. You get the wrongness of that? God came to the Jews so that the Jews could take his gospel out to the Gentiles. But they shut it down. They said, we're keeping this among ourselves. We're not going to share because we don't like you. So Jesus starts this parable. He says in verse 30, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. So he's laid this out. We know, we've seen the picture, how this works. Now by chance, a certain priest came down the road. So the scribe's mind is going to be, oh, the priest would take care of him. But that's not what happened. In fact, the priest, says Jesus, saw him and simply passed by on the other side. So understand, he's walking down the road. He sees the guy laying over there, does not go and look, doesn't do anything, just moves on over to the other side and goes his way. Where's he going? We don't know that story, but maybe he's going to do a religious function. That's what they were doing all the time. He was going to do something that he felt he had to just keep going. He wasn't going to stop to help this person. Didn't even go over and look. And here comes the Levite, verse 32. Likewise, a Levite, when he arrived at the place, now he does a little bit more, came and looked. And then he passed by on the other side. So understand, the priest just moves on. The Levite comes and he actually takes a moment to look and realizes, oh gosh, there's a man who's been beaten, who's half dead. I'm just going to go do my own thing. I'm going wherever it is I had to go. That's the way that we can be sometimes if the love of God is not really in us. Because neither the priest nor the Levite would have seen this man as worthy of him. It's not a religious function. And you know, in fact, there were some rules for the priest that said you can't touch someone who's dead. You can't be around someone who's dead. So there were some issues the priest had. But he certainly was not showing compassion on the man, was he? To just walk by on the other side? But then in verse 33, a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed. So in the scribe's mind, you see this picture of a Samaritan. Just awful person, you know. Here comes this Samaritan. And as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. So the two that you thought would show compassion, the two more religious folks, didn't. And the one who was an hated enemy of the Jews showed compassion. It says, so he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. And he set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. So not only did he stop and help him there, he gets him up, he puts him on his animal, he finishes the journey down that road, makes it to Jericho, puts him in an inn. He spends the night caring for him. This Samaritan spends the night caring for a Jewish man. On the next day, verse 35, when he departed, he took out 2 denarii and he gave them to the innkeeper and said to him, take care of him, and whatever more you spend when I come again, I will repay you. So this 2 denarii would have been enough to take care of the room and board and food of this man for 2 to 3 weeks. So this Samaritan, with whom the Jews have no dealings, has taken it upon himself to not only show personal compassion, he's expended his time, he's expended his money to take care of this injured person. So Jesus asked this question in verse 36. This is the question we're at today. Which of these was a neighbor to him? We can answer that question. In fact, we can only answer that question one way, which is exactly what got the scribe in more trouble. Because who was the only one that could even possibly be a neighbor in that story? The Samaritan. So he asked that. So which of these three do you think was a neighbor to him who fell among the thieves? And the scribe said, he who showed mercy on him. Can you say ouch? Do you understand? The scribe has got to be sitting there going, oh, because he realizes what's going on. Because Jesus has already told him, go and love your neighbor as yourself. And that made him have to justify himself because he wasn't doing it. And now he's seen that the true neighbor in this story was not the priest, was not the Levite, was not the religious person, but the guy who he didn't even like and who was his neighbor. So Jesus has put it to him point blank. Who was the neighbor? And by the way, you've just told me you're supposed to love your neighbor. So who was the neighbor? And the scribe said, he who showed mercy on him. Then Jesus said to him, go and do likewise. You see, what God tells us is that we have a responsibility. We have a responsibility to be a neighbor, to help those who are in need, no matter who they are. And that's the usual lesson we get from the Good Samaritan. And that's a true lesson. Each one of us has that responsibility. But that's not why Jesus was telling this parable. The very question that started this parable, what do I need to do to inherit eternal life, is answered by this question. Which of these was a neighbor? Go and do likewise. What does that have to do with eternal life? You see, when God comes into our lives, our heart is changed. Change my heart, O God, is what we sang. When we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we become a new creation. So Jesus is explaining to this scribe that what must you do to inherit eternal life? Your heart must change. Your heart must change so that you can honor the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. You say, oh, I can do that. That's kind of the easy part of salvation. Then he said, and you have to love your neighbor as yourself. So do we ask, who's my neighbor? I hope not. Because that was the way the scribe was trying to get out of loving other people. Who are we supposed to love? Let me answer this. Who did God love? According to John 3:16, for God so loved most of the world, right? Is that what it says? No. For God so loved the world, the people, the ethnos, the people, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish. So God showed his love to every person. Remember, God died for us when we were still enemies of God. So you can't say God showed it only to those that he liked, that were children of God. We know that's not true. God showed his love to everyone, and he expects us to do the same. Did God show his love to the Romans who nailed him physically to the cross? Yes, he did. Did God show his love to those people who sinned against him? Obviously he did, because you know what? If you've sinned against him, he's shown, and you're a saved person, he's shown his love to you. We have no right, no power, no authority to differentiate between people. It doesn't matter what religion they are. It doesn't matter what kind of clothes they wear. It doesn't matter what town they're from. It doesn't matter what country they're from. It doesn't matter what their religious beliefs are. The Samaritan worships some other god. What matters is that they are a creation of God that he wants to save. He doesn't want any to perish. He wants all to come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And he uses us to do that. He uses the kindness that we are supposed to have, just like the Samaritan. And he says, look, not only do we have this responsibility, but we are all called to demonstrate God's love to those who are hurting and suffering. We're called to demonstrate that love to others. And we do it by helping people. We do it by helping people when they're hurting. We do it by listening to people. We do it by being compassionate to people. And what we're supposed to be doing is showing God's love, the same kind of love that saved us, because we were dirty, rotten, despicable people too. Right? You know, the Bible, Old Testament and New Testament, tells us this: there is none good, no, not one. None of us are good. We may not have the same problems that the Samaritan had. We got others. We can't pick and choose who we share the gospel with. We can't pick and choose who we're compassionate to. God says, I want you to be compassionate to your neighbor. Well, who's my neighbor? Everybody. The world is your neighbor. And if you can take that attitude, this is what Jesus is saying. If you've gotten to the point where you realize that you are going to show and demonstrate that love, that you have the responsibility of taking God's love to anybody and everybody that God calls you to do it, then your heart is the heart of a Christian. And if that change has happened in your life, you know that you are a child of God, because it is not human nature to be like that. Turn over to the Gospel of 1 John, if you would. John's writing this gospel, or this epistle. He's in his 80s, maybe his early 90s. It's before he's written Revelation, but after he wrote the Gospels. And John is saying that when we become a child of Jesus Christ, we have the ability and the authority and the power to walk in light. And here's what it means. Verse 7. It says, if we walk in the light as He, Jesus, is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Christ His Son cleanses us from all unrighteousness. So when we walk with God, we have fellowship one with another. Now, this is primarily speaking to believers. And folks, we need to have that same compassion, that same love on believers. Think about the person who you like least in your believer family. And what the Bible basically teaches is that our love for God is only as strong as our love for the person that we like least in our family. Because God calls us to love all people, particularly our brothers, with the same love that He loved us. Is God's love towards you unconditional? Yes, it is. Does God say when you sin, oh, I don't love you anymore? No. For those of you that came Wednesday night, you know the answer to this, but does God love you more when you do what He says to do? No. Does He love you less when you don't do what He says to do? No. He loved you so much that He sent Jesus Christ to die for you while you were still His enemy, while you were still a sinner. What He therefore calls on us to demonstrate is that same kind of unconditional, selfless love. I love those who need to know Jesus. Who needs to know Jesus? Everybody. Therefore, if I have that heart where I can love my neighbor truly as myself, Jesus tells this scribe, you have eternal life. It's like the rich young ruler. I followed all the rules, Jesus, right? He says, well, go and sell everything and give it to the poor. He didn't want to do that because he had much stuff, right? So his heart was not in the right place. So the question today is, which of these was a neighbor? The question to you is, are you a neighbor? And it makes us think. Do we treat others, everyone, with God's love? Do we extend the same love to everyone? Do we extend the same grace to everyone? Do we show God's love to each and every person that we come in contact with? Because that's what we're called to do. even when that person is not like us, when they're not from a Baptist church, when they're not from Dixon County, whatever difference you want to put up, when they're a different color, when they dress differently, it doesn't matter what difference you can throw up. None of that matters. Love your neighbor as yourself. When you can do that, when you have that ability, and understand the only way you have that ability is because Jesus Christ has changed your heart. So when you have that ability, that is the way that you know you have eternal life. That is the answer to the first question. What do I need to do to inherit eternal life? You need to believe in me so much and worship God so much that you treat His people like He treats you. That's hard. But it's what we're called to do. So the challenge today, as you think about it, as you go out in your week, yes, do good things for people, but love them. Even when they get on your nerves, even when they cut you off in the Walmart parking lot, even when they take the last cup of coffee, whatever it may be, you love them with the same heart that Jesus loved you. Let's pray. Father, we just thank You this morning for these timeless lessons. We thank You that we can look to Your love, Father, that You loved us when we were enemies, when we were sinners, when we still were not loving towards You. Father, we thank You that You reached down and sought us, chased after us, wooed us to get us to come to You. And Father, I pray that we realize we need to do the same for other people. We need to be Your hands and feet, Father. We need to be the way that people hear the gospel, see the gospel in action. We need to be compassionate. We need to be loving. We need to be caring. We need to be like You were. Father, I pray You change our hearts where they're not right. We as believers can come to You and confess our failures, Father, because we're going to fail every day. We confess those failures, Lord, and we seek Your strength. We seek Your power to do that which is humanly impossible, and that is to love our neighbors as ourselves. It takes supernatural power to do that, Father, and You provide it through the Holy Spirit. Father, for those here who may not be Christian, who may not have accepted Your Son as Lord and Savior, I pray that they understand Your love is being offered to them today. Your love is being given to woo them to You because You do not want any of them to perish. You want them to be loved. You want them to be part of Your family, Father. I pray that they understand that and they come to You where they sit right now. If You're working on their hearts, Father, I pray that You would just show them that they need to believe that Jesus Christ died for them, was raised from the dead, and now is seated at Your right hand. That's what it takes. Father, we thank You for His love. We thank You for His compassion, the compassion You give us each and every single day as we continue to walk with You. Father, we honor You this morning. We honor Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.